Finance Committee on Senate Bill 141 will come to order. Representative Wyrock, Representative Seaton, Representative Crawford, Senator Olson, Senator Seekins, and myself, Senator Green, are here to begin our work, and we hope to get through the original motions and then through the points of agreement, determine the points of disagreement, and then report back to our bodies and move on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move motion number one, which would be that the Senate request the House recede from its amendments to the CS for Senate Bill 141 Finance.
Without any objection?
Yeah, right.
Would you like to object, gentlemen?
Yes.
Objecting. Okay. Roll call, please.
Representative Seaton?
No.
Senator Seekins?
Yes.
Representative Crawford?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Representative Wyrock?
No.
I don't think she heard you.
He said,
yes.
The House requests Senate concur with the changes contained in House CS for CS for Senate Bill 141 Finance amended House.
Object.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Representative Wyrock?
Yes.
Senator Seekins?
No.
Representative Crawford?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Senator Green?
No. That amendment fails.
Does.
Does it? They have four yes. Two yes. So we have
two for each house.
We each have a couple of side-by-sides here. I happen to be reading from the one that prepared by my office because it's the one I'm most familiar with, and had some points that we could just go through on the points of agreement where there are not any substantial differences that we're certainly ready, you know, willing to accept the House language.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's agreeable to me, and we'll go a few in your side-by-side and use ours just for reference, and if there's any questions.
Ours is just lines, that's all.
Yes, and on the one that we passed out, you know, in the rush here to get things done, the Senate and the House sides got reversed. So what's under the Senate column is really the House, and what's under the House is really the Senate. So the two versions are switched on.
Madam Chair, I have a question. There's three documents here. One's prepared by Senate Finance Committee, and that's the one you're referring to, Senator. Yeah. Then there's one prepared by the Office of Representative Seaton, and that's a two-sided copy. And then there's a four-page two-sided one that is prepared by Representative Seaton. Is that the one you're saying, Representative Seaton, that has Senate? Is it should be House instead of Senate, Senate instead of House?
That's correct. The House should be on the left side, and the Senate should be on the right side. And the other, the double-sided page is one that just explains all of the elements of the bill.
Okay, but and then, Madam Chair, just for the purposes of what we're going to do now, so we're on the same page, we're going to go off the Senate Finance Committee.
If you don't mind.
That's fine, and then just use these others as reference. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Madam Chair.
And,
Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Seekins.
I have several documents, all of which on the bottom say prepared by Senate Finance Committee.
If you look at the one that says
6 or 104.
You're going to look at this one.
Right one with the numbers
here.
On the side?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's
the numbered
number
columns?
Line. That's the main difference we made in the first one we did.
The numbered columns.
The number, yeah. So we had reference numbers for reference in motion information.
Madam Chair, that goes through page 404 and column or row number 38, is that correct?
Correct.
So in essence, a restaurateur would pick one from column B and one from column D? Is that what we're ultimately looking at?
It would be in D, yeah, and then you just have, the other has your references, so if you want to go back to the bill and pick up anything and see what the deal was. Most of it, I think you'll remember, because they're pretty much highlighted in the areas. Let's see, lines, on entry 7, having to do with the employee contribution rates, the DC plan, which is the House amendment, is fine. So we, if it's acceptable to you, we'll agree to that.
Okay. Are you on this one?
Yes.
Yes, there's, it starts with that one, not number.
Yes, it is. I think he's in the wrong one.
How do we get a number on?
This one's on.
Madam Chair, starts with line 3.
Lines with 3, I think they just.
Which one has the numbers?
On the left-hand column.
I don't know what number's on the left-hand column.
We probably ought to get the numbers, Madam Chair, because my sheet starts with 3. Is that the same as yours?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for doing this. If I could ask.
Do you want to have the paper now that has the numbered lines?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Yes.
May I have one, just so it's crystal clear, Madam Chair, one other clarification. Column D is the changes the House, is in the House bill.
That's correct.
And column B is what's in the Senate bill as received by the House before the, okay, I'm got you.
Column B is what left the Senate?
Yes, I got it.
Column D is what left the House.
Right.
Okay? So we have a comparison of the two documents. Okay, and as I said, on line 7, the in column D, referring to the DB plan, all changes eliminated, existing employee contribution remain unchanged. That's perfectly acceptable.
Madam Chairman, if I understand the difference between these two, mm-hmm. The Senate plan was a floating plan and the House plan was a fixed plan, is that correct?
Madam Chair, actually the Senate plan had an escalator in for the employees so that they went up by 0.5% a year until they equaled the employer contribution. There was some question about legalities and other things on that as well.
Thank you.
On line 9 in column D, the 5% to the DC account as listed in the House plan is acceptable to the Senate? And as we go through the rest of the document, we'll have the make the reference to the other numbers in those columns so that we come back to why we're only accepting one piece of that. There's some references in other places that make more sense.
Thank you.
If you would go to page 2, line 24. The House added duty that the board assist the retirement system administrator in prescribing policies for the operation of the retirement system. That's certainly agreeable to the House, isn't it?
That was line 22?
24.
Mm-hmm.
The board will assist the retirement system administrator. Is a reference. On line 25. The $400 honorarium plus per diem is included in the House version is certain.
Madam Chair, could I comment on that?
Yes, please.
It's my understand that the intent of this is to try to mirror the per diem that's paid to the members of the Permanent Fund Board of Trustees. Is that correct?
I'm at, through the chair, yes, that's correct. And AHFC, I believe, is going to be in the same position.
Thank you.
Thank you. On page four, line 27, changed fund ratio to 105%. Thank you for that information. We'll move to that. On line number 29 of page 3, section repeal closing the loophole that you referred to in your committee. I'm not sure if that was in committee or on the floor, but that's fine with the Senate.
Madam Chair, if I can understand this.
Okay.
That this would bring the university system into the same mandatory requirements as...
No, I think we're on line 29.
Wait, no, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you do with the loophole.
I got it.
For second families. Would you explain that, Representative Seekins?
Do you want an explanation on that, Senator Seekins?
I understand this, I would only ask one question. Does this apply to dependents or to minor dependents?
This applies to dependents that had no relationship to the retiree before he died.
I understand.
Or he or she.
Is there any limitation as to when they would cease to be a dependent based on age or just dependent status as claimed by the IRS?
I don't believe we changed that from the existing retirement system, so whatever the dependent definition is. So
there are dependent adults.
Yes,
who might be covered,
right,
as well as certainly your children that you would have custody of.
This does, as my understanding is, this would cover them as well. So if there was somebody, if there was a spouse that then had, a couple, one that was covered under, one was the member, the other would be a participant. The member dies, and then later on the spouse adopts or remarries and has a dependent, that would not be covered under this program.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You have heard that as a concern. Going down to line 32, and in the House version, language was removed, and that's certainly fine, regarding forfeiting all rights under this chapter. By the way, that was just existing law that was removed. That wasn't a change that we had made into 141.
That's
okay. Okay. On line 36 of page 4, it's the conditional retroactivity, and that's what it's accepted.
Madam Chair, that it's the line 3 above line 36.
Representative Wyrock, I noticed that on every page there's a 3 implanted, and we can just ignore.
It's just a format.
It's part of the, I think it is. The computer knows more than we do. Yeah, but it's line 36, and it's a reference to the conditional retroactivity that I think the drafter probably recommended when it was in the House. We didn't catch it. Okay. And if there are any information that the House would like
to... D is acceptable
36.
On 36, the House
language.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. The House language is acceptable. Mm-hmm. If there's any information the House would like to bring to us.
Just got them when we came in here, so we're...
Would you like to take 10 minutes to review it?
I think that would be... Let us go through there fast.
We'll stay in the room and have a 10-minute break. Oh, we'll come back to order after that brief at ease. John.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 1, number 13,
mm-hmm.
The House would accept the schedule that you have in the Senate. However, we do have to note that there's a number of places in the Senate bill, such as page 93, lines 4 and 5, that the bill actually refers to the age of 65 instead of Medicare eligible. So as long as it's understood that Medicare eligible is what we're talking about, then, and that the language gets cleaned up within the bill.
Is conforming language to be the Medicare eligible as the consistent.
Point of order on that, though. We cannot amend it.
Brief it is. I just want to be sure there's not. Is there a place where it was mentioned that it did not refer to this and maybe...
It may be. We thought about that, too. There might be other places in the bill that comes back.
The language in this section and have advised free conference that that needs to be a drafter's edit and correction. Okay. Thank you.
And then on line 28, I think we're close. We're kind of in the same situation.
We're close on a number, but we just...
It was certainly worthy of us to make note of it, to pass it on to the next group, so...
Right, and that...
28
yes,
is...
Conceptually, it's there, but the problem is that it's... Right now, it's retroactive to 1987, and so prospectively, the change that you wanted to make, we don't have a problem with prospectively, but retrospectively, diminishing accrued benefits would be difficult. So we just wanted to make, yeah.
Probably is, yeah. But...
Yeah.
And we will leave that open. We will leave that open, but it's certainly a point of good conversation. Okay?
Is that agreeable conceptually?
Okay.
That's where we are at this time.
Points of agreement?
Come to.
I would mention that by taking, if I'm not mistaken, I can be corrected if I'm wrong, by taking line 9 on page 1, I think we also accept the reference on line 5. Is that not correct? That is not correct.
That is correct.
I'm having head shaking notes.
If I understand.
I think one is a 5% and the other is an 8%, and we add those together and we get the 13% on line 5. And that the 5% is what's mentioned in line 5. So we also accept
9-5.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
If I can, in looking at that, now, tell me if I'm mistaken here. Appears to me, when I look at the totals that are there on Section 13 that we're looking at, line 13, oh, no, I mean, 9.
Line 9.
I'm sorry, line 9. That the numbers on line 5 are a, that includes the 5% number that would be added to that to come to the 12.5 to get, or 13. But as I understand line 9, the 4.5 and the 2 are things that we're doing here differently, other than the House version establishes a 2.5 fixed, and is the 175 on the Senate version a calculated number now rather than a fixed number?
Yes.
And, Madam Chair, the 2.5 to medical on the House side is a calculated number also.
Does that number stay the same forever in the House version, or is it actually calculated after some date certain after the passage of this bill?
Madam Chair, Senator, the 250 is the current actuarial calculation, however, we require that the medical benefits are enough to satisfy the medical cost. So that 250 would be actuarially calculated each year to make sure that contribution rate pays the medical expenses, so we don't build up an unfunded liability, which medical accounts can't often do.
So I guess what I was getting around to is I couldn't get through it fast enough, but is it in the statute, in your statute, that number is fixed, or is it in there, and I see that it's on page 16, I understand, but is that number fixed?
I believe if you look at our statute 86, on page 86, if I remember right, number D, I think.
Oh, this is yours. You can sit here next time.
Line 21. Is it not? Yeah, line 21.
Well, it's my understanding that on the Senate side, the 1.75% is the Mercer calculation and current calculation. And it's probably a calculable rate each year. So I'm not, and I will let the next conference committee decide it. I'm not sure.
I couldn't quite figure this out.
I think it's a calculable rate.
It appeared to me, and I looked at this is a fixed rate. And I don't see where it becomes a calculable rate at some time in the future. Maybe I'm not reading this correctly.
Well, 2% is, you're just talking about the medical contribution? You're talking about
this 2.5 number that I see to the medical there versus the 175. I'm just trying to figure out if that is a fixed number or where it says that it is recalculable based on some actuarial figures.
And through the chair, Senator, starting on line 23, this contribution shall be paid into the group life health benefits established and shall be accounted for in accordance with regulations. Oh, no, that's not the place.
Accounting doesn't mean established.
Yeah, it's 2% just by legislative fiat.
That's what it looks like to me. It doesn't look like this is ever an actuarially calculated number. It's a fixed number. It stays that way until we change it.
And I think that was the purpose of having these other portions of the bill, which require advice, consent to the legislature, reports on what these contributions are to reflect. That sort of was the link.
I do recall that in the conversation there was the reach to the balance between the contribution rates for the benefits for the employee health plan, for the retirement health plan, and each of those. And the rates were somewhat adjusted, and I'm not sure how that went. And that, and indeed, the 175 is in our statute as well, I'm to be corrected. And
Maybe if I could, does the information on line 23 add anything to this equation?
Of your bill or?
Of yours. Page 51, lines 7 through 14. Add a requirement for AMRB to annually evaluate the employer rate for medical insurance sufficient to cover projected costs.
That was the intent.
Because I would object if we're just setting a number in statute.
We would too.
And so with that.
We'll just leave that open.
Yes.
For the conference committee. Okay.
And Madam Chair, I might say that, you know, there are a couple of errors in both of these accounts. We talked about it on the floor. We didn't change it because it was a death and disability part that was added in the House side, which adds up on PERS, which adds up to 0.3%. And we talked about it and then reviewed, and since the actuarial calculation was supposed to be there, it didn't get added in. And I might note on the Senate side, I believe the 175 Mercer, when they calculated that, did not calculate it in at, they calculated that rate at people being required to retire directly from the system as it is on the House side, and they made a mistake. They missed, because not retiring directly from the system increases the cost quite a bit.
And 175 basis points increases the cost quite a bit, and I'm not willing to fix that in statute, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll leave that open.
Sure.
For free conference. Thank you very much. Any discussion on any of the other items of that are listed on these pages that we have not agreed on?
Look at number 18.
Under health reimbursement.
I think that had to be blackboarded because we had to look at what the differences really were, because the language clarifying the provision was removed in the House version. And I'm not sure why.
So and I, as I recall, someone had asked in our discussion if a person was resigned and not retired, would they have access to the HRA, or is this after retirement?
I don't know why that. I think that must have been done in state affairs.
Yes, please.